come and spend your Sunday morning with us. Of all the things and places that you could have gone and done, you decided to be with us today, and we don't take that lightly. We are thrilled you're here. We want you to become a part of the LifeGate family, and if we can do anything to make your time with us better, then just let us know, let someone know, and we'll surely do it. We want you to join us and help us reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom of God and make people devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming, and if you're not in a hurry after the service, I sure would like to meet you, shake your hand, and get to know you. Thank you. Well, we're in a series, and the series is called Expecting the Miraculous. God expects us and desires that each of His children live a miraculous life. We are not born to be natural, we're born to be supernatural. Our lives aren't supposed to be ordinary, they're supposed to be extraordinary. We're to live in a supernatural dimension. The Bible says that we've been caught up into the heavenly dimensions, and we should experience miraculous events happening in our lives all the time. So that's what we're talking about. And the last couple of times that I've gotten to share with you, we've talked about how God wants to do miracles in our lives and do things in our lives, healing, miraculous healings in our life. And we had a couple of weeks ago, we prayed for a lot of people, and a lot of people were touched and healed and experienced miracles. And just want to share a couple of those miracles that happened a couple of weeks ago with us. And there were many. I'm just going to have time to take a moment here. Willis Wilkie, for months, had been having problem with what the doctor said, a retina leaking in his eye. He had spots, or a big spot, in front of his eye. Well, he came down the other week when we had the call after I had shared with you about healing. He came down, and Alice prayed for him, and he said, I don't want to get like super spooky spiritual on you, but he says it was like lightning hit me, you know, just like electricity hit me. So I called him this morning. I said, "No, Willis, how's it going?" He said, "Oh, I haven't had any more trouble." He says, "God healed me. God healed me." Yeah. They were going to do laser surgery on him. They were going to go in there, and it's all gone. It's all gone. Amen, Willis? Amen. Right. Let me share one more. Lonnie Chandler has had trouble with her back ever since I have known her. Now, she's not here today. She's flying out to wherever she goes and with her family. And anyway, she's leaving. But I called her and asked her if I could use her situation and her miracle. She came down. I prayed for her. Others prayed for her. But anyway, she's had trouble with her back. In fact, she had just been in the hospital not very long ago because of her back. And it gets so bad, she has to go to the hospital. Well, she came down. We prayed for her. I called her this morning just to make sure that I was sharing the truth with you. She says, "Oh, no, I haven't had any trouble." She says, "My back is healed." Amen? Amen. There were a lot. I know, Nancy Kittle was healed, and others have been healed. And, you know, I know that many of you have. Now, you know, I just want you to know that what we're talking about with our God is a God that still does miracles. And He wants you to expect miracles. He wants you to walk in the miraculous. He wants you to expect it when miracles aren't happening. That's when something is wrong, not when they are. They should be a part of our daily lives. They should just be a part of what the child of God experiences all the time. So we're talking about expecting the miraculous. Today's title is Jesus Wants to Tell You Something. Now, I know that's not a big revelation there. We all know that He wants to talk to us. But what I want you to see today is that before or during or after a miracle, He wants to say something to you. And in that can hold the key to your miracle. So we're going to be talking about that today. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, then look with me, please, at Luke chapter 8, verse 44. While you're turning, I'll be praying. Father, thank You for this wonderful day with these wonderful people. Lord, we just ask You today that our time together will be so good. Thank You that we get to sing together. We get to talk about Your Word together. We get to hug each other and greet each other. And Lord, we just thank You for the wonderful time that we've already experienced. And Lord, we just know You're going to even do more for us. Lord, I pray for myself today, Lord, that what I will share will be interesting. I pray, Lord, that it will be seed that will fall into hearts of good soil, and it will produce fruit that will produce 160 and 30-fold. Father, I ask You that our ears will be open, that we can really hear what You want to say to us, because in that hearing, is a miracle. So, Lord, I ask you to bless us today. Use this moment. Use this time to your best advantage for the kingdom. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Say something. Come on. Okay. There we go. Good. God desires that we be healed and be whole physically as much as God desires that we be healed and whole in our spirit. He wants your body healed and whole just as desperately as He wants your spirit healed and whole. In fact, the message of the gospel of the kingdom, the message that Jesus Christ shared, was very intricately involved in healing. The message of healing, the ministry of healing, was as much a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the message He proclaimed as was teaching and preaching. Let me show you what I'm wanting us to see today. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus said, the Bible says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, and let's count these, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So what are the three ways that Jesus conveyed the kingdom? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Which are the most important? Do you see this? It's as important that you be healed as it is that you get taught. It's as important that your body is healed as it is that you get preached to. The way Jesus conveyed the kingdom message was with teaching and preaching and healing. And they're all important. They were an intricate part of His message. They're an intricate part of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let me go on to the next verse that's in that same passage, Matthew 4:24. And it says, news about Him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and He healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed Him. Leave that up there just a second, please. See, Jesus based His outreach ministry on healing people. Rather than using television and radio and the newspaper and Labor Day things, you know, Jesus used healing to reach people. You can take it down. What He would do is He would heal people. And the people that He would heal would go tell somebody else that needed healing. And they would bring those people back to Jesus. And He would heal them. And they would go and tell other people that they got healed. And they would bring other people back to Jesus. And they would get healed. And then they would go tell other people that they got healed. And He was followed. His outreach ministry was healing. He had people following Him because of healing. Now, my point is this. You need to tell people when God heals you. When God touches you physically, you need to put it in the newspaper. You need to tell somebody. You know, you need to tell people that God has touched you and God has healed you. Now, listen, when we do this and we go out and tell people that God healed us, it's a tremendous tool. And maybe they might not come back to church with you that Sunday or maybe next Sunday or for a couple of months. But one day they're going to be needing a healing. And they're going to remember where they can go and somebody will pray for them and God will touch them and heal them. It is a tremendous outreach thing. I was kind of fascinated this week. I knew. I had heard all the great reports of what happened Sunday week ago, you know, two Sundays ago when we had the healing time. I knew that a lot of people had gotten touched. I sent out an email. Said, send me back your reports. Send me back because I want to share some of these reports. Do you know how many emails I got back about how God touched you and healed you? Zero. You know what that's telling me? We're not using the greatest evangelistic tool that we know. We're not using what Jesus used to get people into the kingdom. We need to learn how to tell people that God's healed us. And just a little while, I'm going to have anybody that wants to come down and be prayed for healing, and everybody that wants to pray for people to be healed, we're going to do that in just a little while. Probably about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. When I get done, well, I'll come down here. But what I want you to do right now is start purposing in your mind, God, when you heal me, I'm going to tell this person, I'm going to tell this person, I'm going to tell this person, I'm going to tell this person. Because when you will, see, God healed people so that they would go out and tell people. God will heal you so that you will tell somebody. Use that. Allow the Lord to heal you as an evangelistic tool to go out and tell people. Go ahead and purpose in your mind right now. God, when you heal me, I'm going to tell 50 people. I'm going to bring them into the kingdom of God because you touched me. Well, Jesus healed thousands of people during his ministry. I mean, the Bible tells us over and over again how the crowds came to him and they would bring all of these people and he would heal them. No matter where he went, people came around him and he healed people. Now, let me show you just one of those verses. I showed you several last time. But here in Matthew 15:30, it says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Jesus healed thousands of people. But what's interesting is that out of those thousands of people that he touched and he healed, the Bible only gives us details and more intricate thoughts of healing on about 15 of those. That's interesting. Why did the Holy Spirit do that? Why did the Holy Spirit just point out these specifics? Why is it that only 15 or so are told to us in the gospel? Or why is it that just these? And we talked about this last time. You see, one reason, and I'm going to give you another one today, but the reason that we saw last time, one reason is that God will find a way to heal you. See, as I looked at those 15 miracles, they were all done differently. Every time Jesus would heal somebody, it wasn't like the time he healed someone just before that. Everybody was healed differently. Sometimes Jesus would use spit and dirt and make mud and rub it on somebody's eyes and heal them. Sometimes he would just release a word into the heavenly dimension and a person miles and miles away would be healed. Sometimes he would lay hands on people. Sometimes he would rebuke the sickness. Sometimes, you know, he would forgive sin. Sometimes he would get so aggravated about like things like the Sabbath day, like, you know, religious things. He would get so aggravated with those things, he would heal people just to show them that a person's healing is far more important than some religious thing that we do. See, God wants you to know, your healing is more important than a Sabbath day. Sometimes he would send his disciples or people to heal. He would tell them to take oil and anoint people and pray for people. But he would find a way to heal people. See, so all of these 15 are all different. And I believe it's telling us that I'm going to find a way to heal you. Your healing is important to me. So the point is that God will find a way to heal you. And he will use anything, spit, oil, hands, words, people, anything to get you healed. He'll use preachers. He'll use doctors. He'll use a layperson. He'll use anything to get you healed. Your healing is important to him because you're going to tell somebody. And the person you told is going to get healed. And it's going to snowball. And it's a tremendous tool that God uses. But I want to talk about the second thing that I saw as I studied these healings. Not only does the Lord want to find a way to get you healed, but also, Jesus wants to say something to you and others before, during, or after your healing. Jesus wants to tell you something through your healing. Now, I'm going to work on this. And so today, what I really want you to do is open up your heart, open up your spirit, open up yourself so that you can hear, because the key to your healing maybe in what the Lord wants to say to you, because he wants to tell you something. Now, let me start with this one. It concerns the video we showed you and the scriptures we read. But do you remember the story of the woman in the Bible? In the King James Version, it says the issue of blood. The more modern translations say it this way. More modern translations say a hemorrhage. This woman had severe female problems. And she had been sick for 12 years. And she'd been going to the doctors and she'd spent all of her money, the Bible says, on doctors. None had helped. And she was still hemorrhaging. But Jesus was coming to her town. Jesus was coming to her village, to her city. So Jesus arrived, and as he arrived, a man named Jairus goes and meets Jesus and persuades him to go to his house, because Jairus had a daughter who was very sick and was dying. And he persuades Jesus to go, and so they're on this ambulance march through the streets of the city. They're going down, and Jairus is leading them on full blast trying to get there. But Jesus is in town, and just as it would be here if Jesus was in town and he was healing people, people followed. So all these people start gathering around Jesus and crowding around him. In the crowd was this woman with the issue of blood, with the hemorrhage. And here's what the Bible says of her. I'll just point out a few verses. 844, I hope you're there in your Bible. But here's what it says. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Now Jesus felt healing power go from him, and he stopped that ambulance parade. And he immediately turned around and he began to ask everybody, "Who touched me? Did you touch me? Who touched me? Who touched me? Peter, who touched me?" Peter just says, "Lord, everybody's touching you." "No, but you don't understand. Look at this. I want you to see this in Luke 8:46. But Jesus told him, "No, somebody deliberately touched me. For I felt healing power go out from me." I think that's the New Living Translation. "Somebody deliberately touched me." Now, before I go on making the points that Jesus wants to tell you something, I want to tell you that you need to deliberately touch Jesus. What does that mean? She deliberately touched him. She had deliberated about touching him, right? She had thought that through. She had it figured out. "I'm going to get up in the crowd. I'm going to come through the crowd. I'm going to touch that garment, and I'm going to be healed." She saw herself touching Jesus and getting healed. "In a little while, we're going to have you come down. We're going to have people down here praying for you. What I want you to do is right now begin to deliberately see yourself coming down here, Jesus touching you, you touching Jesus, and you getting your healing. I don't care what it is. You see yourself right now. Begin to deliberate on that. Begin to purpose that. Begin to see that. Because your healing could be just like this woman's. Deliberately touch him. Deliberately. Do it on purpose." Well, Jesus began going back through the crowd and intensely looking and seeking the one person who had touched him. Now, there was a crowd around. But he began looking for that one person. He would not go on until he found that one person. Now, get the picture. Here's Jairus. He's the guy that's already got Jesus persuaded to go to his house. It's supposed to be for this march that Jesus is moving. He's going to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. But Jesus has stopped the parade. He has stopped the ambulance. He has turned it around, in fact, and he will not move until he finds this person. And if you know the story, what happened to Jairus' daughter? She died. Jesus would not move. Now, he healed her. He raised her up from the dead. You know the story. But he would not move until he found that woman who touched him, or that person who touched him. "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Peter told him, "Lord, you know, there's no way." Why did he stop the parade? Why did he stop the ambulance? Why was this so important that he found this person? And here's the answer. He wanted to tell the woman something. There was something that was necessary, not only that she was healed, but he had to stop and tell her something about that healing. And so what Jesus wants to do for you or me is when he touches us and when he heals us, he wants to communicate something. And that may be the key to your miracle. Luke 8:47 from the NIV Bible says this: "Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" Why was this so important? He had to tell her. He had to communicate something to her. Now, we'll just read right over that and we'll just stack that up with all of our other faith scriptures. But what he's saying here, let me tell you what he's saying. "Daughter, your faithfulness has healed you. Your understanding faithfully who I am. Your faithfulness to the kingdom. See, faith isn't just believing in God. Faith is activating your faith by doing something with your faith. Faith without works is with your faithfulness. You touched me with your faithfulness, and your faithfulness has healed you. Now, because you touched me with your faithfulness, you can go in peace if you will remain faithful. If you can remain faithful to the kingdom and faithful to the things of God and faithfully doing what you know to do, if you can do that, then your faith will maintain your healing and you can have a good and a peaceful life. See, there was a miracle in her faithfulness and she needed to know it. Now you need to know that. There's a miracle in your faithfulness. I was preparing this and I couldn't help but think about Casey and his testimony a few weeks ago. He had been hurting, and for several weeks he'd been in pain and much discomfort. But he wanted to get healed. And so what he did is he got up that morning, he was hurting, and he fought not coming to church. He says, you know, I don't feel well, I'm hurting, I think I'm just going to stay home. But you see, he had some faithfulness. He says, no, I'm going on. And he came here. And that morning we prayed for Casey and he got his healing. He got his miracle. You see, there was a miracle in his faithfulness. Had he stayed home, he may still be sick. There's a miracle in faithfulness. See, why did Jesus stop this procession? Why did he go and find her? Because he wanted to tell her something. Now I want to tell you, Jesus wants to tell you something. He'll stop the world to tell you. But he wants to tell you something. Jesus wants to tell you something. Let me tell you another one. Do you remember the Gentile Roman centurion that came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick. He's paralyzed. I want you to heal him. Jesus says, sure, let's go to your house. The centurion, the Gentile Roman centurion says, no, Lord, no. You don't need to come to my house. I am really not worthy. Let me show you what he said. Let me read it to you. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, you have your Bibles. Feel free to turn there, please, but it'll be on the screen for you. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. Would you say astonished back to me? Astonished. Something made Jesus' eyes light up. Something made Jesus' heart beat fast. Something astonished our Lord. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. Now, this is important. I have not found anyone in America. Anyone in India? What does it say? It's important. I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. You know, we tend to take this scripture as well and put it on our stack of faith scriptures, you know. And we dislocate it from what was going on here. We dislocate it from what Jesus wanted to tell those people. That he wanted to tell those people before he would heal this centurion's servant. What was it? What was it that was so important? What astonished Jesus? Well, what astonished him was that this guy understood the kingdom. This Gentile understood the kingdom of God. He understood who Jesus was. He understood that Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he had authority. Now, what's so special about that? Well, Israel didn't. Jesus said he was the Messiah. Israelites, the Jews, said, no, he's not. I've not found anybody in Israel that's got this kind of faith. See, It's interesting that his miracle was in his understanding the kingdom. I want you to hear me. Your miracle can be in understanding the kingdom. Understand who Jesus really is. That he really is king. That he really is Lord. You see, a lot of us feel like the Jews are special people. Can I tell you that God loves you as much as he loves any Jew? See, that's what he's saying here. I love you, Jew, a Gentile centurion, as much as I love anybody in Israel. I want you to hear that. God loves you as much as he loves anyone. And when you're in the kingdom, you get a revelation of this. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither barbarian nor Scythian. There's neither bond nor slave. And there's neither male nor female. And when you get a revelation of that, and you begin to understand the kingdom and understand what Jesus is doing here and what he's saying here, see, your miracle, your healing can be an understanding that he loves you and he wants you healed. So before he could heal the servant, he had to make sure that he said this. So that's what it was. Let me read you some more. The next verse is down in Matthew 8, 10. Verse 10 says, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Next verse. I say to you that many will come from the east, the west, and will take their place at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, he's talking here about the subjects of the kingdom were those Jews who thought they were secure because they were born Jews. Can I tell you God loves you? Can I tell you he loves you as much as he loves anybody? Can I tell you that God wants you healed? After he'd said that, then look what he says. Matthew 8:13. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Can I tell you that there is a miracle in understanding the kingdom and knowing who Jesus is? He has authority to heal you. He has authority to work your miracle. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to tell you something. What is it that he wants to tell you? What is it that he's trying to relay to you that will unlock your miracle? In every one of these 15 or so miracles that are specifically given us, he relays something to people. He tells them something specific. What is it that he wants to tell you? It can be the key to your miracle. Let me tell you another one. One day Jesus was in Jerusalem, and it was a feast time. And there was this colonnade, and it was called the Pool of Bethesda. And so Jesus was going through, and at this Pool of Bethesda, sick people would come. And they would lay around on pallets. And some would be blind and some would have disease and some would be crippled. And there was just all this mass of people who were sick. And Jesus walks through there. Now, the tradition is that an angel would come down and stir the waters. And the first person that was able to hop into the water would be healed. That was the tradition. Jesus walks through and he sees all of these sick people out there. And for some reason, he focuses on one person. He walks over and he begins to inquire about this guy. He's found that this man has been sick for 38 years. 38 years. Wow. That's right. And so he walks up to this guy and he asked him a most astounding question. Let me show you what Jesus asked this guy. Find my place. John 5:6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Well, duh. That's what you think, right? But you know what? I want to say something before I go on. When you've been fighting for a long time, your sickness, when you've been going through all the pain and discomfort all the bad things that go along with being sick, sometimes you give up. Can I tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep holding on. Keep believing that Jesus is going to heal you. Keep believing that something's going to happen. Something's going to come forth and you're going to get your healing. Don't give up. But this guy's answer to Jesus' question is amazing. You would think, yes, I want to get healed would be his answer, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that? I mean, if I ask you, do you want to get healed? I would think that you would say, yeah, I want to get healed. But that's not what this guy did. Look, let me show you what he said to Jesus, what he replied. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. You know, what the guy did was get negative. He started talking about people. They won't pray for me right. They won't visit me in the hospital. Don't get negative. Being negative when you're ill will keep you sick 38 years. Yes, I want to get healed. Be positive. God's going to heal me. I know He's going to heal me. Yeah. Jesus told the man, I don't want to hear it. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. Guy got up immediately, was healed. That's exactly what happened. John 5:9 says it. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. I was going to get into this one a little bit, but I'm not. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. I want to tell you, though, your healing is far more important to God than a Sabbath or a Sunday or for any other thing. God wants you healed. Well, the guy's healed. And later, I would have to think hours later, though, Jesus specifically came back and found this guy in the temple. This guy was in the temple and Jesus came back and found him. Now, that only happened a couple of times. And this is one of those times. Jesus specifically comes back to find this guy. Now, let me go ahead and ask you, why did Jesus come back after he'd healed the guy? Because he wanted to tell him something. Comes back specifically to find this guy and tell him something. See, it wasn't important that he just got his healing. There was a key to his life. There was a key to the rest of his days. It's important that you get healed. But if you get healed and get sick again, you just had a healing. He wants you to get healed and stay healed. And here's what he said. Jesus came back and he found the guy. And in John 5:14 it says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Why did Jesus go and find this guy? Because he wanted to tell him something. This guy had issues. Call him sin. But he had issues. He had things in his life that was going to make him sick again. He had things in his life that he didn't stop doing. He was going to get sick again. He was healed, but Jesus wanted to tell him, listen, you got to make some adjustments to your life. You got to deal with some issues that you're going through. You got to fix some stuff in your life. If you don't, you're going to get sick again, and this time it's going to be worse. What's the Lord saying to you about issues? He wants to heal you, but He wants you to have great days for the rest of your life. He wants you to have a peaceful life, a joyful life, a great life. We get healed. But sometimes, see, we got to deal with issues in our life. Now, let me say this, make sure that we get it. Did Jesus heal this guy before he dealt with his issues or after he dealt with his issues? Before. Never let any preacher or anybody else tell you got to stop sinning before he'll heal you. He will heal you. I don't care what's going on in your life. Then he'll deal with your issues. Now, did you hear me right? Should we deal with our issues? Yes. But will that block your healing? No. He wants you healed. It's important to Him. Just as important as preaching or teaching to you is, it's important that He heals you. Let me tell you another one. Remember the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle? Remember him? Well, Saul was a Pharisee, and he hated Christians. And he had given his life to the destruction of Christianity, and he would pursue them, imprison them, and kill them. But one day the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus and as a bright light, and Saul went blind. Saul spent 3 days blind in a house. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. But the Lord had spoken to a man named Ananias, a Christian. Just a brother. Wasn't an apostle. Wasn't anything real special. Just a brother in the Lord. Just a layperson. Just a believer. He said, Ananias, I got this guy in Saul of Tarsus. And he knew who he was. He says, I want you to go pray for him. Ananias wasn't really crazy about that, but okay. So Ananias did. He went and he prayed for him. Acts 9:15 says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is a chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Ananias did go and he went and prayed for Saul. And chapter 9, verse 17 says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me all so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Why did Jesus send Ananias? Because he wanted to tell him something. In just a little while, we're coming down quicker now than it has been. And you're going to come down, and I'll be praying for you, and others will be praying for you. And they may tell you something about your calling. See, Saul's miracle was in pursuing his calling. And as you come down here, there's going to be people that are going to be praying for you. A prophetic word may come through them as they lay hands and pray for you. And they may tell you something that God wants you to know about your calling. Because in hearing that could be the key to your miracle. I want you all to hear that. If you're praying for somebody, not only do what we talked about doing last week, but if you get a prophetic word for them, you better let it go, because that could be the key to their healing. Saul, he says, you're a chosen vessel of God. God's going to take you. Lord Jesus is going to take you. He's going to use you. You're going to the Gentiles. You're going to the Jews. You're going to the whole world, and you're going to preach about Jesus. And in that word, and what Jesus wanted to tell Saul, was his healing. Jesus wanted to tell Saul something. See, there's a miracle in responding to your calling. If you feel like God's called you to do something, and you need a healing, please do it. It's the key. It could be the key to you getting your miracle. God wants you healed. God wants you healed. Here's my last story. And then we'll do what we've been talking about, doing pray for people. And you can read all 15 of these or so, and you'll find that there's the same principle. Jesus is always relaying something to people. Once Jesus was in the city of Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man to him. And they begged Jesus to heal him. Begged him. Please heal him. Jesus did something that he never had done before, at least recorded in scriptures. And it was the only time that I find that he ever did it. He took this blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Let me read it to you. It's in Mark chapter 8, verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people like, they look like trees walking. Did he get his healing? Well, did he get his healing? Did he get his miracle? Have you ever felt like something had happened? Somebody prayed for you and you got part of it? You know, something happened. You know, you got a part of it, but you didn't get it all. Before I read that rest of it, and you can see it up there, but just realize this point. never stop coming. I don't care how many times you've been prayed for, because what Jesus had to do here was pray for this guy again. Jesus had to pray for this guy again. Two things. First of all, you that pray for people for healing, if they're not healed immediately, don't get down. Pray for them again. If they don't, pray for them again. Right? But also for you that are seeking the healing, don't stop with one time. It took Jesus two times. It took Jesus two times to get this guy healed. So, Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" "Well, I see these people that look like trees moving around." Jesus prayed for him again. Here's what Mark 8:25 says. "Once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly." Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Why did Jesus take this man out of the city? Because he wanted to tell him something. Do you know that this was the only time that Jesus, that I know of in the scriptures, had to pray for somebody two times? The reason that I saw this is when we were looking at it, the reason that I saw here is that, you know, your environment is one of the biggest blocks of miracles for your life. Jesus led the guy out of the city, led him out of his environment, led him away from the people that even brought him to get healed so that he could get healed. And Jesus heals the guy and tells him, "Don't go back in there." Do you realize that your environment can block your miracle? Your environment, of course, a lot of times will make us blind in the spiritual realm as to what we really want to do in life and see in life. But do you know that people that you run with, do you realize that people you hang with and your environment can stop your miracle? Jesus had to tell him something. Don't go back to that lifestyle. Don't go back to that way of living. Change your lifestyle. Now you got your healing. You got your miracle. But don't go back. Keep your miracle. Jesus wanted to tell him something. And Jesus wants to tell you something. How many want to expect your miracle today? Do you want to expect your miracle today? If you're sick and need a miracle, would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand. I want you to expect it. I want you to determine right now that you're going to get it. See, he wants you healed. And not just so that you'll feel well, but so that you can go out and tell people how good our God is. So that you can become a tool, an instrument for the kingdom of God. Go ahead and purpose right now that you're going to get your miracle. But God's going to heal you and you're going to go tell people. And you're going to convince people to come and follow Jesus. Use it as a tool, as an evangelism tool. He'll heal you and he'll send you forth to tell somebody. That's the way he outreaches. That's his outreach ministry. But also realize some other things. Not only just spreading the news about it, but do this deliberately. Like that woman with the issue of blood. Deliberately come down. Deliberate about it. Deliberate about your getting your healing. Understand the kingdom of God. Understand that God loves you just as much as he loves anyone else in this whole world. Don't be negative. Never be negative. Always keep on the upper ground, on the upside. Stay positive about life. Stay positive about people. Don't let that block your healing. Deal with issues in your life. Sin. Deal with those things. God will heal you. Do something in the kingdom of God like Paul was told to do. What's God called you to do? He's called you to do something. What are you doing? He didn't just save you to sit in the chair. He's called you to do something in the kingdom of God. Do something in the kingdom of God. And maybe you need to leave an environment. Maybe you need to leave and get away from some people. What's he telling you? He wants to tell you something. What is it? It could be the key to your miracle. Please listen. Because Jesus wants to heal you. Expect the miraculous. And realize, please, that he wants to say something to you. I mean, you ready to listen to him? You ready to listen to him? Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Amen. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Let me set this up a little bit. I want people that need a miracle to come down. But I also want people that have ever prayed for people to be healed, desire to pray for people that have ever been healed, to be healed. If you have a healing anointing, a gift of healing, I want you down here. I want you to speak to their things. Whatever that the Lord tells you to speak to them and tell them, you tell them. Because that could be the key to their miracle. I want you to come down. I want you to lay hands on them, put oil on them, whatever that it's going to take. Find a way to heal them. You rebuke their sickness. You lay hands on them. You do whatever that you feel you need to do, but get these people healed. We want to see some miracles. Before you come, before I invite you to come, I want to always give people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't know everything about you. I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know He loves you. But maybe you need to make it right with God. How are you with God? Maybe you received Jesus years and years ago, but are you right with Him? You know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. Just ask you to pray it with me. Pray everybody in here to pray it. Just pray it out loud right with me. Right after I say it, you say it. And then if you're sincere in your heart, that relationship will be renewed and right. You'll be translated again. And you won't have eyes that are blurred and you see things. You know, first of all, you see the kingdom and then you get to enter the kingdom. So sometimes we come into the and it's blurry. We don't understand it. But if you will pray with sincerity and be born again by the Spirit and water, your vision will clear up. And you enter the kingdom. And life becomes abundant. So I invite everybody in here just to pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I repent of all sin. I ask you to use me. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, my Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. I want you to want to hear about that if that happened to you just then. Now, need your miracle? Well, I want somebody to pray for you so that you can receive it. Be coming right now.